You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
If you have your Bibles with you, I got so many things rolling in my head and spirit here. I tell you what, it may be a while before I get there, but turn to Psalms 45. We'll turn there first. We're going to go through a few scriptures here tonight and talk about. I just got this stirring in me. We live in the now, but we should have an eye on the future, put it that way. We would call that forward thinking. Everybody say forward thinking. You know, often we use the term backward thinking when someone's backward. They just don't know what they're talking about, or usually it's they're not up on the facts. They don't know how things have developed. Backwards would be old, out of date, uneducated. You know, we might say it that way. So when we say forward thinking, we're talking about not necessarily brand new thinking, but we're thinking about the future. We know there's more to life than what's happening right now. We're not living in the past, and we're not just stuck in the present, but we're going in the future. And really, if anything, the Bible teaches, it teaches that. It gives us the blessed hope. It gives us a future and a hope. That's what God gives us, and that's the way God operates. God calls things to be not as though they were. He speaks ahead of time, and the Spirit shows us things to come, you know, as it were. And not necessarily things that are going to happen without a doubt, but things that can happen. You know, I don't know what you're going through right now, but hey, this day will pass. I don't know what crisis you're in, or what challenges you're facing, or what battle you're fighting, but you know we need to be looking down the road here. We need to have some forward thinking. We need to have a strategy and a plan that we're going to work this plan, and we're going to believe God, and we're going to stand on the Word, and we're going to trust God, and we're going to get in His Word. We're going to serve Him, and it pays to serve God, and His Word is true. So whatever's going on is going to pass because I'm looking further down the road, and I'm going to work this plan. I love that. I live by that. Some days you get up and you feel great. Some days you don't feel great. Some days you feel anointed. Some days you don't. Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't. You know, mounds, bars, peanut. Okay. But what you do, you know, you work your plan. You work your plan. You do what's right because it is right. Not because you feel like it, but you know it's going to reap good rewards. You know the principles of God work. Amen. Forward thinking is being future-minded. It's being dream-based. I live my life on dreams. I do. I believe in dreams. I believe in not the things you get at night when you go to bed, but dreams and goals and plans. I believe in that. I believe in setting them. Prophecy. Prophecy-oriented. Optimism. Visionaries. That's the way God is. That's the way Jesus was. He came down here with a job. He came down here with a purpose. He came here with a plan. He was going in a certain direction. And so are you and I. And you don't pass that point when you become 50 or 60 or 70 or 80. Oh, come on. You're still breathing. You're still alive. You can still dream. In fact, the Bible says old men dream dreams. Amen? And so being this type of person as Christians, as believers, which I believe that we all should be this way as Christians, if we're true believers, that we are eternal optimists. If we're true believers, we never settle for what's happening. We're not victims of circumstance. We're not victims of economy. We're not victims of tragedy. We're not victims of whatever happens in our life. We can make a difference. We can make a change. We're not stuck in the past the way it's always been. We're not stuck in the present the way it is. But we're moving forward. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the first day of the rest of my life. Yes. Amen. And so, you know, I'm not living on, my house is not on memory lane. I live on Dream Street. I don't live on memory lane. I got memories, but I live on Dream Street. Amen. I'm going forward. You know, Robert Schuller said this, I thought this was pretty awesome. He said, anyone can count the number of seeds in an apple, but only God could count the number of apples in a seed. Mm-hmm. Woohoo! Yeah, so that's kind of the way we are. You know, we're big on counting the seeds in an apple, things that be. But do we know the potentials? What could be? And see, God looks at us that way. He looks at us. He's not just looking at us as we are. He's looking at us as we can be. He's not just looking at our situation as it is. Oh, he's aware of it. He knows very well all the facts, all that's going on. But he looks at what can be. What can be. He looks at the darkness and says, let there be light. You know? And that's the way we need to be. So we need to be that way. You know, I read this in Stephen R. Covey said this in a book he wrote, Principle Center Leadership, I read years ago. It says, we're not limited or tied to the past, but we have an unlimited sense of what is possible in the future. Our mindset is prophecy, not just history. I like that. How does your mind operate? Is it just operating history? Or is it operating prophecy? I'm believing for some things. How about you? It's not always going to be the way it was. It's not always going to be the way it is. See, that's what fear does. Fear just holds on to it. Fear just hates it. It hates change. It hates progress. Fear wants you to hold on to your pain and try to convince you that it's always going to be pain. Fear wants you to hold on to your failures and try to convince you that you're always going to fail. You're doomed in this endless cycle of repeating this failure, this defeat, this pain, this rejection, or whatever the case may be. That's fear. That's stuck in the past. But we're not stuck in the past. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We got God. We got His Word. We're going forward. We're not looking at what is past. We're not looking at what is present. We're looking at what is possible. That's good, isn't it? I'll repeat that. We're not looking at what is past. We're not looking at what is present. We're looking at what is possible. And we, of all people, God's people, that have His Word and His Spirit, in the name of Jesus, the power of God, hallelujah, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, born again, got a future, a hope, and a destiny. God on our side, and if God be for us, who can be against us? We of all people ought to be living a dream. We ought to be dreaming. We ought to be visioneering. We ought to be planning for the future and not get stuck in the present or the past. Hallelujah. You know, I was meditating on this and thinking about, if anybody's made it, I can make it. If God's done something for anybody, He'll do it for me. He can do it for me. If He healed that woman with the issue of blood, He can heal me. Are you with me? If He provided food in the wilderness, you know, for all those people, those 5,000 men plus women and children, He can provide food for me. Amen. If He wrought a victory for David and Jehoshaphat and just on and on and on, people you could name, He'll win a victory for you. Because He is no respecter of persons. That's right. And if you read any testimony where God is moved, don't get the idea God plays favorites. He loves us all. If He did it for anybody, He can do it for you. If anybody made it, you can't. If it happened anywhere, it can happen here. And if not here, where? And if not now, when? And if not you, who? Amen? Make it you. Make it so. I mean, let's just get down to it. We're going to believe it's going to. You know, and I think about this too. God doesn't. You know, when God shows us the future, I don't think God's necessarily telling us exactly how it's going to be. He's telling us how it can be. You know, He shows us possibilities. Possibilities are contingent on your choices, your actions, and your faith. But if you will believe and you will act on His Word, this is a possibility. We see that all through the Scripture. He said, if you'll serve me and you'll do this and you keep my commandments, I'll bless you. This will happen, that will happen. If you turn and you don't serve me, you don't trust me, you turn after other gods, serve them, this will happen. And that. See, these aren't engraved in stones. These are possibilities. Your future is open. It's not already in the stars. We're not Greeks. We're Christians. The Greeks believed in fate. We don't believe in that. We believe in the Word. We believe in the power of God. And we believe we have a part to play. And God told us we did. And so, you know, we need to start looking forward and realize if it's to be, it's up to me. I love that little saying. I've said it a couple times the last few weeks. A lightning bug lives most confused. He hasn't any mind. He wanders through existence with his headlight on behind. Well, you know, we live our life shining the light on our problems, shining the light on our past, shining the light on our hurts, shining the light on our failures, shining the light on everybody that has hurt us, and, you know, everybody's rejected us, and everybody's done us wrong. Well, listen, you need to turn that light around and shine it on the future. Shine it on what's coming, what you're believing for, where you're going, not where you've been. We're going somewhere, amen? We've got to look at what should be, what could be, and in the name of Jesus, what will be. Because there's a lot of things that are not as they should be. And they're definitely not as they could be. But we've got to go a step further than what should be and could be and say we're going to believe God and say it will be in the name of Jesus. That's what prayer's about. That's what fighting fight's about. That's what standing on the Word's about. That's why we preach, why we teach, why we get in the Word. To get the right thinking, forward thinking, get our minds renewed. You know, because it's all, our minds get all messed up in the world. We're just, you know, we are born to win. We're destined to win. I believe that without any doubt. We are designed by God to succeed. But we're programmed to fail. God made us to succeed, but in the world we're programmed to fail. And dream stealers, you know. The world is full of dream stealers, full of gold crashers and mess up all of our goals and steal all of our dreams and tell us we can't make it and, you know, and tell us we can't have what God says we can have. I tell you, there's ground out there, but it needs to be planted. Are you tracking with me here? It needs to be planted. We can all look at the ground. We all talk about the ground. We all walk on the ground, but somebody's going to have to plant the ground. God is looking for planters, not just reapers. And I believe He's raising us up to plant, to bring forth a crop, to bring forth a difference, to make a change in the ground. I think about our future being like a blank sheet, as it were, concerning the future. I believe God gives us a blank sheet. It's an open future. It's an open possibility. But you and I have got to write on that paper. And I believe there's still ink in the pen. You don't like the way it's going? Let's write us another chapter. The story's not over. Don't you believe everybody else that says the book's over and it's closed. It's not. The story's not over. We can still go forward. We can still write another chapter. We can start today and we can go forward. What is it that you want next year? What is it you want to be next year? What is it that you want to do for God next year? Well, start writing it up. Yeah. Amen? Mm-hmm. Write a new chapter. God's looking for writers, not just readers. You know, we all read, but He's looking for writers. Y'all found Psalm 45? Psalms 45, verse 1 tells us, my heart, I'm reading New King James, is overflowing with a good thing. I like that. That's where it starts. You're going to have to get something in your heart more than other than what you see out here. You're going to have to get something rolling around inside of you other than what you hear in the world. Hallelujah. A good thing, something good. Of course, he's talking about the king. He says, my heart is overflowing. Flowing with a good thing, I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. See, we're writing with our tongue. Not just yawning like Marty just did, but we're actually writing. I'm trying to keep y'all awake. Y'all stay with me. Okay. We're writing chapters with our tongue. Stories yet to be told. Things yet to be done. You know, goals and dreams yet to be accomplished. Hallelujah. Don't stop writing. You say, well, I've just gotten old. Well, no, there's still ink in the pen. You can write a new chapter. I don't like the way the story has ended. It has not ended. Are you with me? You can write another page. You can write another chapter. You say, well, man, I've lived my whole life and this is what I've got. Well, it's what you got right now, but it's not what you're going to have next year. It's not what you're going to have next month. If you start planning, if you start writing, and you start with that tongue, I like that. Not necessarily talking about confession per se, but you can't get away from it. You got to confess the word. You got to talk positive. You got to talk the word that God really means what He says, that He really will come through, that He really will do what He says, that He's a God that loves us and cares for us, and He's bigger than this situation, greater than this problem. And if I trust Him, hallelujah, yeah, it's going to turn out all right. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Start going forward. Don't get stuck in the past. Don't get stuck in the present. But go forward. Forward thinking. Visioneering. We got the visioneer. Amen? And God's showing us what can be. I think when we see the promises of God, we see possibilities. You say, well, yeah, they're possible, but they're not possible for me. Well, now, Jesus said, of course, that's Jesus. I don't know whether you believe him or not. But Jesus said in Mark 9:23, he said, all things are possible to him that believeth. So if I see some possibilities, if it's possible, if it's been done, it can be done again, right? If it's been done for somebody, it can be done for me. That's why we need to hear testimonies. I love testimonies, because if God healed so-and-so, he can heal me. It's awesome to hear, though. You need to share your testimonies. That encourages people, see? It gives them a hope. It gives them life. It gives them an example, because God doesn't love you anymore. He loves them. If they'll trust him, they can have what you have. Hallelujah. It's a possibility, but it's possible to believers. It's possible if you believe. All things are possible to God, and Jesus said all things are possible to him that believeth. You know, I think sometimes as you get older, if you're not careful, not everybody's this way, but as you get older, you stop writing, as it were. You stop planning, and you stop singing, and the song's not over, see? You stop dancing. They hadn't shut down the ball yet. The ball's still open. Hello? I love that. There's an old proverb that says, those who hear not the music think the dancer mad. But and a lot of people think you're crazy, you know, because you're still dancing and they're not. But it's because they can't hear the music and you can. The music of faith. The music of God's Word. The arena of faith. The ball is still open. Hallelujah. We can sing another verse. The music is still playing. I can hear it. Hallelujah. And those that hear it, like us, you and me, in our hearts and in our souls, we must dance. We keep dancing. We can't stop. We can't give up. We can't quit because we hear the music. Hallelujah. And it's playing loud and strong. Hallelujah. Are you with me? See, that's where we've got to be. We've got to start thinking forward. And this is something you see all through the Scripture. Turn to Acts 2. This is, of course, real familiar Scripture. Acts 2nd chapter. I want to encourage you. I want to stir you. I want to get you excited about the future. Amen. May not feel it, but it doesn't matter what you feel like. Amen. Hallelujah. I know in whom I believe. Amen. I know in whom I trust. And it doesn't matter about the arm of the flesh. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I mean, you can put your faith in all kinds of things, but until you put your faith in God, you got no definite, positive, sure, confident hope. But you put your faith in God, you got something to bank on. You can take it to the bank. Hallelujah. Acts 2. Now, this is real familiar. Actually, Peter is quoting Job. He's quoting Job 2:28, I believe, right around 2:28, where they ask Peter, what's going on here? Because these 120 people that were in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, we heard Deke Silverman talking about the feast of the Lord. You know, that was the feast before trumpets, 1, 2, 3, 4, the fourth feast, 50 days after, you know, first fruits. And that's what Pentecost means, incidentally. Pentecost means 50 days. So when the day of Pentecost was fully come, when the 50th day was fully come, they're all one accord, one place, you know, in the upper room there in the second chapter. And then, of course, the Spirit of God came in like a rushing mighty wind, sat on each of them. There were cloven tongues like as a fire. And the Bible says they all spoke with other tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. And when they went out into the street, now this is a big feast, so you got people from everywhere coming over here, Jews from all different countries that spoke different languages, and they heard them speaking in other tongues, 120 of them speaking in other tongues, and they were astonished at it, but some made fun. Some thought they were drunk. And so Peter said, well, these men aren't drunk as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which is spoken of by the prophet Job. I love that. This is that which is spoken of by the prophet Job. That in the last days, it says in the 17th verse, it shall come to pass in the last days, Acts 2:17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old young men will receive visions, and your old men will dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Yeah. Woo! Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. Now, I'm not teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, which we believe very strongly here and teach on, preach on. And every year we teach a whole series on that and try to, you know, explain that. And we believe in speaking in other tongues. I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, have for 35 years. What I owe to speaking in other tongues is like cutting off my right arm. I pray in tongues all the time. I believe there's a proper place for it. Then the tongues with an interpretation of tongues is in a church service. That's different than praying in other tongues, which I do in private. But what I want to bring out here is something maybe we missed. Maybe we're looking at it in a general way. That when the Spirit of God comes on you, that he causes you to prophesy. Not just the gift, we know that, and that is specifically what he's saying, because he's referring to what just happened there. But in a more general way, when the Spirit of God comes on you, he gives you hope, and you start believing for the future, and you start making goals, and setting goals, and dreaming dreams. Are you with me? When the Spirit of God's on you, and you're in God's presence, and you should be, then he'll pour his Spirit out on you, not just in gifts, but also in forward thinking, in visioneering, in dreaming dreams. I love that. You know, when I just give up and I'm at wit's end and I get alone with God and I start praying and seeking his face, all of a sudden, not necessarily the gift of prophecy, but I start prophesying. I start saying how it shall be. It won't be like this. It's going to be different. I'm going to believe for this, and I'm going to change this, and I'm going to change that in the name of Jesus. I'm going to stand on this promise and that promise, because when the Spirit of the Lord comes on you, he shows you things to come. He shows you what should be, what can be, and in the name of Jesus will be. Woo! I love that. And yes, he's talking about the gifts here. Yes, he's talking about the experience that took place in Acts 2. I know that. I preach that and I teach that. But I just want to look at it in another sense, in the sense of God reveals the future to us, the possibilities of the future. God reveals to us victories. He reveals to us how we can win. He gives us dreams and he gives us vision. He gives us forward thinking. Hallelujah. He gets us out of backward thinking. He gets us out of the past, what is past. He gets us out of what is present. And he gets us to thinking on and looking at what is possible in the future. Hallelujah. It shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit out of my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. That's what we do. We go around prophesying. It's going to be like this. It's going to be like that. You say, well, y'all are just nuts. Well, no, you just don't hear the music. They'll always say we're nuts when they don't hear the music. Yeah. What person ever did anything without prophesying? Now, I'm talking about the gift per se. I'm just talking about, you ever heard of an architect that actually drew up plans and designed and drafted all these plans for a building that wasn't planning on building the building? That didn't see the building before it ever came to pass? Didn't go around telling everybody where he was going to put it? Yeah. And give the details of what it's going to look like, room by room, floor by floor, plumbing, electrical, air conditioning. Are you with me? I mean, it's all laid out. He's prophesying. Every architect prophesies. Every painter prophesies. Are you out there? I mean, we do it all the time. We get in a car and prophesy where we're going. And then we go out and make it happen. Yeah. Hallelujah. We don't just sit there. We get in the car and we see the future. We declare the future. We prophesy the future and we go for it. Every builder builds a building, does the same thing. You know, the list is just on and on and on of people that do that. And that's the good news. As Christians, we can change the future. Change the present with the future. We can change the past with the future. We can be future-minded and erase our past. We can be past-minded and erase our future. And destroy our dreams. And never fulfill our destiny. But if we start thinking right, I love that. With hope and purpose and promises, then possibilities start opening up for us. Praise God. Turn to Jeremiah. Here's another good one. Jeremiah 33. This is a good one. You'll know this. You know this verse. I could just quote it, but I want you to look at it. I want you to turn to it. If you're writing notes, be sure to underline it and write it down. I believe in the Spirit of God coming on me. How about you?
Amen.
I need the Spirit from on high to come on me. You know, the Bible talks about in the Old Testament, the Spirit came on, they became another man. The Spirit came on Saul, and he became another man. Changed him completely. The hand of the Lord, it says many times in the Old Testament, would come on people, and they would be different. They'd do phenomenal things, supernatural things, when the hand of the Lord came on them. That's because they no longer were limited to the natural. They were no longer limited to their weaknesses. They were no longer limited to their past and their failures. They weren't linked to the past. They were linked to the eternal God, hallelujah, and anything was possible when the hand of the Lord was upon them, when the Spirit of God came on them. See, we need to look to the Spirit of God. We need to pray for Him to open our minds and open our hearts and move on the inside of us. And then we need to get that sheet of paper and start writing that story, hallelujah. Start singing that song and dancing in that ball. Amen. Here in Jeremiah, just one verse, Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me, and I will answer you. And I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not. Woo! Wow. I mean, about when you get ready to give up and quit, call on God. Call on God. When you think it's over, call on God. Call on God. When you think that what you're looking at is all there is and there's nothing more, and you look at your past and you feel like you've got no purpose and no future and no hope, you call on God. And He will answer you. And He will show you great and mighty things which you never even dreamed or thought or imagined. Hallelujah. Could be possible. Hallelujah. Man. You know, I can remember so many times God's moved on my life. I just think, you know, when I was got saved, and, you know, and accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I hadn't gone to a church, but a guy on the job had been witnessing to me, and I just came home one day just exhausted, really. You know, I'd been reading the Bible. I didn't know anything about the Bible, but I was reading it. I thought, I'll just figure it out, you know. And, of course, I go right to the thing you need to go to, the book you always need to read if you don't know God. I started reading Revelation. And so that made a lot of sense. I mean, here I was lost as a goose and started reading Revelation. I read it every day for several days. And all I could figure out from all that was that I was lost and going to hell. That's all I could figure out. I had about come to the point where I admitted there was a God, which I really didn't know. You know, in my teenage years, I got in drugs and so on and so forth. And this guy started witnessing to me on the job, and I wasn't real open to it at first. But after a while, you know, God began to deal with me, and I started admitting, you know, maybe there was a God, and there maybe was a heaven and a hell, and boy, if there was a hell, I was going there. And I was convinced of that, and I even got to thinking, well, if I go to hell, I go to hell. That's just what it is. Man up. You know, you're just a knucklehead when you're young and don't know God. And then I'd look at Chris, and Chris is about a year and a half old. You know, I was lost as a goose. And I'd look at him, and I'd think, you know, yeah, I go to hell. If I go to hell, I go to hell. You know, I'm just lost. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. And I didn't know it was God then. I didn't know the voice of God, and I didn't hear an audible voice. But in my head, I thought, I heard, what if he goes to hell? And I thought then, I said, you know, that wouldn't be right. Wouldn't be right, but if it did, it'd be my fault. Mm-hmm. And it was a turning point. I never will forget that. It was a turning point in my mind, my thinking, you know. I started thinking, well, you know, yeah, maybe I need to get saved, you know. It was the weirdest thing, you know, because you think so, you're so screwed up. Your thinking is so messed up when you're lost. And I was a thinker even then, you know, even when I did drugs and stuff. I thought a lot. I thought things through. But I'd made the point where I admitted God. I made the point where I admitted there must be a heaven and a hell. I kind of got to that point where I agreed with that. And then I was just going to take my licks. I was just be a man. That's what men do, you know. But it's never just you. It is never just you. I mean, when we're talking about the future, we're talking about a huge influence that you have on people and you don't realize you do. Your friends, your relatives, your children, your parents, whoever. You never know the impact that you have on people. We need to believe for a better future. We need to be forward-thinking here. We don't want to die in this mess. We don't want to sit here till we die. We don't want to just continue in the disaster that we may be in, or the crisis that we may be in, or the lack, or the weakness, or whatever it is. We want to get out of this. People are watching. People are looking. And when they see you win, they can win. When they see you overcome, they realize they can overcome. They see God is alive and well, you know. Well, it was a turning point in my life, no doubt about it. And I did. I accepted Jesus one afternoon. And I didn't have a real lightning bolt experience, you know. I didn't walk an aisle, but I accepted Jesus. I'd made the decision, you know, that I was lost and that I needed the Lord. And I got enough out of the Bible and this guy that had been witnessing to me. I got enough out of that conversation and my little reading that I needed Jesus. That all my being nice and trying to be good, which I had not cussed for about a day and a half, two, 3 days. I thought, that's it. I'll quit cussing. I'll make it, you know. And I'll quit drugs, you know. You know, so I didn't smoke any dope for two, 3 days, you know, which that was big for me. I smoked dope every day. Went to work, smoked dope every day. And did pills on weekends and partied and got high on weekends. You know, just crazy thinking. But I quit that. But I didn't throw it away. I just kind of bagged it up and put it on the closet, you know, in case this thing didn't work, you know. So about two, 3 days of that, so I'm telling you the truth. I mean, this is about 3 days of it. I was the most miserable person on the face of the earth. I wanted to cuss so bad I couldn't stand it. I wanted to do drugs so bad I couldn't handle it. I thought, if this is what it takes, stick the fork in, I'm done. I'm not going to be able to make this. I can't do this. And I really gave up. I remember I gave up, and I came to God that afternoon. I laid down in the middle of a hallway in Chateau Creole Apartments, Red Bluff Drive in Deer Park, Texas. I laid down and I said, I never will forget. It's the first time I ever remember really sincerely from my heart praying. And it wasn't a big theological prayer. It wasn't, you know, John 3:16, Romans 10:9. But it was what those scriptures say. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believes in Him shall not perish." Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. And 13th verse of that same chapter, 10th verse, 10th chapter, 13th verse says, "Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I call on the Lord, and I said, "God, if you can do anything with me," and I said the word Jesus, I said, "Jesus, help me. Because I'm done." Yeah. I remember that. I gave up. But you know what? I called on God. Yeah. I called on God. No lightning bolt hit me. I didn't have this real emotional, I've cried more now than I did then, emotional experience, but I meant what I said. I was done. I was at the end of my rope, and I'd come to God, and I was looking for help. I think about that verse, calling to me. And I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things, you know or not. I got up off the floor. I went in there and got my drugs and flushed them down the commode. I did. I remember doing that because it was final. It was it. And from that day forward, that was May of 1975, from that day forward, I've served God the best I could. I hadn't been perfect, but I've served Him with all my heart and all my strength. I've sold out to Him, made sacrifices, you know, lost friends, made new ones. Hello? Yeah, right. You know, had trouble with some relatives, got new relatives, got a new family. But you know what? I got unstuck. Because I was stuck in that past. I was stuck in that present. I was stuck there. I remember one of my friends, most friends I hung out with were 5 years older than I was, because I was into things early on, and the people my age didn't do what I did, you know. And one guy in particular I knew that were in Houston, a good friend of mine from Center, Texas, that we went out partying one night. He was 5 years older than I was, and we were friends. We hung out, and I was thinking, I never will forget this. I was thinking, I'm going to be like that in 5 years. And it dawned on me, I'm already that way. What will I be like in 5 years? I'm already doing what he's doing. I'm already as messed up as he is. He's 5 years older than I am. It's funny how the Lord uses things like that. But see, I started thinking about the future. Are you out there? It changed my whole paradigm, my whole logic, my whole thinking, my whole, you know, the way I analyze things. I mean, come on. If you don't think about the future, you are going to get stuck in the present or stuck in the past. And God will always bring the future up, always. He'll always bring up the future when he talks to you. I don't think there's any question about that. He brings up judgment. He brings up heaven. He brings, you know, are you with me? He brings up your children. He brings up the impact that you make on others. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God comes on, you'll begin to prophesy. You'll dream dreams and see visions of what can be. Of what can be. Hallelujah. And you'll see the difference that you can make with God's power. You can turn it around. You can get out of that mess. You can get out of that rut. Hallelujah. You can start dancing again. You can crank up the music. You can write another chapter. Woo!
Amen.
Turn to 1 Chronicles. Here's an account. Somebody did just that. 1 Chronicles, the fourth chapter. 1 Chronicles 4. It's a story you'll all know. But it was a turning point in his life, this person's life. 1 Chronicles, the fourth chapter. See, I don't know where you are. I mean, sometimes you can be just doing good. But, you know, I think the danger sometimes is when we're doing great, doing good, is that we just kind of get complacent. You know what I mean? We're not really believing for anything. We're doing okay. Everything's fine. I'm happy. Well, I am too. Everything's fine. It's going good. But it could be better. We could do more. We could reach further. You know what? I've never regretted serving God. I have never regretted selling out to God. I've never regretted doing the right thing. Never, ever. If I have any regrets, it's missed opportunities. It's times I didn't serve. I didn't pray. I didn't forgive. I wasn't kind. I wasn't nice. You're not going to get old and wish you'd been a little meaner at the end of your days. You're not going to think, man, I wish I'd have been a little more judgmental. Your regrets are not going to be like that. I wish I'd asserted myself more. No, you're going to wish you'd have served God more. You're going to wish you'd have been a little kinder, prayed more, and sought God. That's what you'll always see. And that day's coming. You're getting older. Brenda's not in here, but tomorrow's her birthday, you know. Hallelujah. And she's as old as I am. I look at my kids. Listen, I look at my kids, my children, and... Nah, I thought about that. I look at my children. I know I'm a blessed man.
Yeah, man.
I am such a blessed man. I'm so proud of my children. I'm so proud they're serving God. I'm so proud they didn't go through what I went through. They've got a better testimony than I do. They've been serving God all their lives. See, I can't say that. Now, they're not perfect. I mean, they you know hadn't been perfect. But boy, thank God they didn't go through what I got. I never brag about things I used to do. I never kid around and joke about it. It's not funny. It's not cute. Are you with me? It's nothing to be proud of. It's nothing I want them to ever repeat. And they know that. I don't hide it. I mean, it's there. But, you know, I get put out with a lot of people. Christians sometimes, they talk about their testimony, and they almost just cut up and laugh about the things they used to do. I'm ashamed of the way I used to live. I'm ashamed of the people I hurt. The people I messed up, the influence I had on others for bad. Because I did have an influence. All of us have influence. I influence people to do bad things. Are you with me? That's what you do when you're lost. You join in with them and you influence them, and sometimes you're the ringleader. A lot of times I was a ringleader. You know, because I tell you, I had a mouth. Woo. Now I'm using it for God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, 1 Chronicles 4, you found it? Man, this is a good passage. Just a couple verses here. You know the story. Jabez. Jabez meant he will bring pain. That's what the name meant. So, I mean, here you are. Your mama names you Jabez. Not the best name in the world. That's like naming your kid Satan or something, you know. I mean, And you grow up with that, and everybody looks at you, and he will cause pain. He will cause pain. That's his name. Now, first of all, you know, you're having to get over that name you've got. And then in the back of your mind, you're thinking, what was my mama thinking? Hello? Did my mama not like me, or what was the deal here? You know, David, I get a tickle at thinking about, we talk about David and the greatness of David. He was great. David was an awesome king, a man after God's own heart. But you know, his brothers and his daddy didn't think a whole lot of him. When Samuel the prophet came into Bethlehem to choose a king to replace Saul, he came to the house of Jesse. That was David's dad. And he said, bring your sons before me. I'm going to anoint a king. And he brought them all before him except David. And when he brought all of them except David, Samuel says, is this all your sons? Because I'm not feeling it. Are you with me? I'm not. It's not there. And they said, well, we got David, but he's out there keeping sheep. His dad didn't even think enough of him to bring him in there. And he comes in and the Lord says, that is him. Anoint him. And he anointed him king. And the Bible says from that day forward, the Spirit of God came on David and it left Saul. But I think, man. And you remember when he whooped Goliath? Mm-hmm. You know what he went through that day? He showed up that day with some cheeses to give to the captains that were over his brothers, Eliab, Menadab, his brothers. Because his father sent him there to check and see how his brothers were doing. They were in the battle, you know. They were up on the hill on one side and the Philistines on the other. And so he brought cheeses, that's what it says, cheeses, to bribe the captain so he could go in, I guess, and talk to his brothers. And he heard what Goliath said. And David said, man, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he defied the armies of the living God? And his brothers jumped all over him. His own family told him, you know, where are those few sheep you're supposed to be keeping? We're down here fighting a battle. Get out of here. See, he had to overcome that. And he did. Thank God he did. He kept his eyes on God. In fact, it says, he said, what did I do? He looked at his brother and said, what have I done? And he turned to somebody else, started talking to somebody else. Sometimes you have to do that too. But he was thinking down the road. You know, he was thinking, we can beat this guy. What are you talking about? He's coming against God. Nobody meet God. But he had to come out of a mess, you know, where his own family didn't think much of him, his parents, his brothers. Here's Jabez, his own mama called him a name, named him a name that means to cause pain. And notice what it says. 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9, Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. I like that. Everybody say more honorable. I love that. There's a whole teaching on honor. Honor actually is the same word in Hebrew translated glory. And it has the same, in the Greek, it's the same way too in the New Testament, that honor and glory really go hand in hand. Glory or value, you might think of it that way. We glory God. We glorify Him. We value Him, you know. You honor people you see value in. You honor God when you see value in Him. Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him in sorrow. And Jabez called on God, the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, that your hand might be with me, that you would keep me from evil, and that it may not grieve me, or that I may not cause pain. And God granted him that which he requested. See, he didn't settle for what he was called. He didn't settle for what he'd been told all of his life. He didn't settle for the labels that were put upon him. Sometimes we're so in tune to labels and libels that have been put on us, that we cannot get past that. But we've got to get past all that. It doesn't matter what box people have you in, what label they put on you. What matters is what God says. We're looking down the road. We're looking forward. It doesn't matter what it looks like now, in the present or the past. What we're believing for is what's possible in the future. Amen. We're forward thinking. The Spirit of God has come upon us. And we're prophesying and we're dreaming dreams and we're seeing visions. Hallelujah. We've called on God. And He's heard us, and He's answered us, and He's showing us great mighty things we know not. We're like Jabez, where we start thinking forward, not backwards. He wasn't stuck in his past, and he was not going to be stuck in his present. He was going to call on God and make a difference and go forward. And it says here, because he was honorable, I love this too, he didn't want to cause pain. He did not want to cause pain. And if you're honorable at all, you'll always be thinking of others. You'll think of others when you do something. You'll think of others when you say something. You'll think of others when you plan something. You'll think of others when you think of the future. What kind of impact is your life going to have on others? That's a good question. I hope it's good. I hope you're believing for something good. I hope you're believing to improve. I hope you're believing to come out of that mess you're in, because others need you to get out of that rut. Yeah. Amen? And that's the honorable thing to do. I want to make a difference. Amen. When God got a hold of me as a pastor and a teacher, when he got a hold of me, he appealed to my sense of justice and my sense of compassion. And he brought up others. He did. Thinking of Chris led me to eventually get saved. When God called me to teach, he brought up people that were in church and how I could make a difference in their future. Just like I made a difference in my children's future. That my actions and what I commit to in life can make a difference in other people's future. Yeah. You know, when I was at Lakewood years ago, 1976, May of 1976 was the year after I was saved. I was sitting in a service and this lady was preaching. She was preaching on Joshua, Numbers 13 chapter. Joshua went out, you know, with 12 spies, went to the land of Canaan, came back. 10 brought about a bad report. 2 brought a good report. She was preaching, ministering along those lines. Then she began to minister to other people. And God gave me an open vision. I saw a church in my hometown, Center, Texas. I saw a church. I saw people going into that church looking good, dressed up, looking fine. Some of them I recognized. I mean, I've been saved 1 year. I'm 20 years old. I'm sitting at Lakewood Church. I'm a laborer on a construction job, okay? I don't have a high school education. I got kicked out of high school. I was not the most likely person to succeed. But God kept dealing with me, and I kept seeing these people going in this church. And then I saw them coming out the back door, and they're all beat up, and their clothes are all torn. It's like it was yesterday. I mean, it's so real to me. I saw those people, and I hurt, and I didn't know. I was crying and weeping, and I didn't know why. And God says, I want you to do something about that. Yeah. Yeah. And I've told you before, I'm sure some of you heard it. I said, God, you got the wrong cat, Jack. That was 1976, that's the way I talked. I said, you got the wrong cat, Jack. I was shaking my head, I was backing up, I was crawfishing, I was begging God to leave me alone. I said, leave me alone. Leave me alone. I can't do anything about that. And he just relentless, wouldn't pay any attention to me, and says, I want you to do something about that. God's people going in. God's people coming out of church worse than they go into church. This should not be. This should not be. Church is not about that. Church is about helping people. It's about blessing people. It's about encouraging people. It's about fanning the flames of their dreams. It's about telling them they're worth something, they count, that God wants to use them, giving them a future and a hope. That's what church is about. That's what it should be about. That's what it can be about. That's what it will be if we do what we're supposed to do. And of course, you know, the story went on. God wouldn't leave me alone. And finally he said, I'm calling you to teach my word. This is all new to me. I mean, I'd been saved 1 year. Come on. I mean, I wasn't into crying, and there I was crying in front of a bunch of people in a church. Now I cry all the time. It's no big deal. But then it was a big deal. I had to get through a lot of that stuff. And that woman, when she got through ministering, she stepped off that platform. I never will forget. She stepped off. She'd prayed for several people, and God had done a lot of things. And she stepped off. She went, God's done a lot of things here tonight, but he's called one young man to teach his word, and stepped off the platform. It was Marianne Sitton. That's who it was. You remember that? But I mean, she said teach, and that's what he's told me. He didn't, you know, people talk about, I got the call to preach. He told me teach. That's what he did. And later, of course, called me to pastor. But in that was, he appealed to my passion and my compassion for others. He appealed to making a difference in people's future. Because God always thinks about the future. Always. Are you with me? And all you need is a jolt from the Holy Ghost. All you need is one touch from heaven. All you need is for God to shake and stir the inside of you just once. And you will see the future in a whole different light. It happened to Moses. Moses was out just doing his own thing. And he stepped into the presence of God. And it changed his life forever. He even tried to back up. Couldn't back up. Wasn't anywhere to go. He stepped into God's presence and it changed his whole future. Abraham, God gave him a revelation of who he really was on the inside. Changed his name. And one revelation from God in Abraham's life caused the promise of Isaac to come and the future to be changed forever. Jabez didn't make the mistake but did the right thing when he called on God, but it changed him forever. His future all of a sudden opened up. The possibilities were endless. David, just think about his destiny, how it was fulfilled when the prophet showed up, poured the oil on his head. Wow. Man, I want to be a forward thinker, don't you? I want to make a difference. That's what we're doing in Hallelujah tonight, making a difference. We saw what could be. We saw what should be. Amen. And turned it around. Amen. Food bank. We saw what we can make a difference. We can help people. And we started thinking about that, started praying that, started seeing that, started believing that. And woo, look at what a difference we're making. Amen. Hallelujah. And see, the story's not over. The song's not over. The ball's still open. Let them call you crazy. They just don't hear the music. We need to tune our ear in to the music and start being forward-thinking people. Right. Amen. Amen. You and I can make a difference. I tell you, you and I are making a difference. Mm-hmm. But you and I need to continue to. Hey, let me read this to you. I always like to do this. I'll close out with this. When I read those two verses, one day I was meditating on Jabez and what happened to him. And he didn't want to cause sorrow, and he wanted God to bless him, and he wanted God to enlarge his coast, and wanted his hand on him, And he prayed that. And you know what? That's exactly what he got. And you can get a difference in your life too. God will bless you too if you call on him. If you start thinking forward instead of backwards. But I wrote this little poem about these two verses and it just came together one day I was studying. Sometimes I do wax poetic. Hallelujah. Thank you for that, Pecos. That was good. Yeah. But it goes like this. I call it Jabez's poem. Oh Lord, I pray that you would bless all things that I attempt to do. And cause my vision to be no less than all the dreams that come from you. I pray, Lord, for your mighty hand to always with me ever be. Keep me from evil in the land so grief would never come to me. Yeah, that's good. Hallelujah. That's good. I want the hand of God on me. Amen. Yeah. I'm going forward. How about you? Yes. Don't get stuck in the past. Let's just go forward. Don't be like the lightning bug. Yes. With a headlight on behind. Let's go forward.